Need to reopen the Rosenberg case entitled With Justice for Whom? I'm Jolie Pataki. I'm the vice president of the board of directors. And on behalf of the board, I'd like to welcome you. President David Allman, Moni Itzkowitz is the treasurer. Tibby Brooks is the executive director. Toby Emmer, Jeff Kiseloff, Robert Miropol, and Miriam Moskowitz are other members of the board who are very happy to welcome you as well. First off, I'd like to start the program by reading you a letter from our esteemed President, David Allman. If you were to ask yourself why you've come to this memorial meeting, among the answers might be that you have some uncertainty about the issues in the six-decades-long Rosenberg-Sobel case. You may have come for enlightenment about the tragedy that unfolded when several idealistic individuals obtained and passed on to the Soviet Union classified military information during World War II. You may still be disturbed by the draconian death sentences. You may have come to show the sons of the Rosenbergs that they don't stand alone in their long search for the truth. For the huddled masses yearning to be free. Over the years, our presidents and congresses and Supreme Court justices have, by new laws, presidential orders, and an authoritarian-minded Supreme Court, created the makings of a police state. The Constitution is now expressly banned from courts in which indictments for disloyalty or suspicion of terrorism are prosecuted. Prosecutors no longer have to prove defendants in such cases, guilty. Defendants have to prove themselves innocent. How did we get this far from the imperfect democracy of the 1950s? If you're looking for a starting point for the 60-year assault on the Constitution, the Rosenberg-Sobel case is a good place to begin. On the surface, the prosecution and judge follow the required sequence of steps: the arrests of the defendants, their indictment and trial, the verdicts, sentences, and executions. The indictment charged the defendants with having conspired to spy for a wartime ally, the Soviet Union, during World War II, a charge for which there was circumstantial evidence for the guilt of Julius Rosenberg and Morton Sobel, but none at all the involvement of Ethel Rosenberg. But in the courtroom, the prosecution and the judge charged the defendants with treason on behalf of an enemy. This illegal switch required the prosecution to set a new high for the use of perjured testimony, forgery, invented events, illegal sentencing, and wrongful executions. Now fast forward. Today, in loyalty and national security cases, it is not necessary to arrest suspects at all. They may just be picked up for detention. The laws place no limits on the length of detention. A man or woman picked up today in a so-called loyalty and national security case may still be detained without trial on July 4th, 50 years from now. Moreover, that man or woman's family may never learn what happened to their father, mother, sister, or friend. Today, a man or woman defendant in a loyalty terrorism case may, by law, be denied the right to read his or her complete indictment. There are even cases in which judges may not be trusted with this information. How do you defend yourself against charges never described to you? How do you cross-examine government witnesses whose identity may not be revealed to you and the precise testimony against you never made known to you? How do the families of these men and women know whether the disappeared loved ones are alive or dead, sick or in good health, tortured or being treated humanely? If you can call secret detentions humane. For a really comprehensive picture of the state of justice in our country today, go to the internet, go to the websites of the Center for Constitutional Rights, the ACLU, and the websites of other civil rights organizations. Our committee to reopen the Rosenberg case believes it is possible to challenge the steps being taken to transform the United States into a police state. One big step would be to compel the Department of Justice to correct the historical record in the Rosenberg case. official acknowledgement of the perjuries, forgery, sentencing illegalities, and the wrongful executions of the Rosenbergs would constitute a step toward restoring the Constitution to the courtroom. It could signal the beginning of the end to the serial human tragedies perpetrated in the name of national security by the Department of Justice. We will need the support of a great number of people to succeed. We take heart from a recent breakthrough we made in bringing the truth to new sections of the public. In February 2011, Zeman Magazine, an ultra-Orthodox Jewish periodical, wrote a 59-page article highly critical of the government's misconduct in the trial. When the Zeman reporters had concluded their research, they, and an Orthodox rabbi, and an Orthodox cantor, and other participants went to the Rosenberg grave sites where they recited the 23rd Psalm, which Julius Rosenberg had recited on the way to his execution. Said Kaddish, the Jewish prayer for the dead, after which the cantor sang Kail Mai Le Rachamim, the prayer for Jewish martyrs. We will shortly have a condensed version of the Zeman article on our website. It is not enough to grieve, to mourn, to regret where history has taken us. History is in our hands, if we take it into our hands. Read our informational materials and pass them on. Read the materials on our website and recommend others do so too. Help us get the word out. Help us bring the message to religious, professional, and social groups. Help us when we begin amassing petitions. Help us with funds. Help us with ideas, suggestions, as well as with criticisms. If you want to be part of the resistance to turning America into a police state, a good place to start is by asking for redress for the government's unlawful conduct in the Rosenberg-Sobel trial and for the wrongful executions of the young Rosenberg couple. Thank you, David Allman.